Listening to What Do You Know on News Talk KGVO, AM 1290 and 98.3 FM. Arnie Sherman, a happy, happy Sunday morning.
And I'm back. I'm back in Missoula after a month in the Big Apple in New York City in my birthplace.
He's wearing a Yankees hat. Let me describe to the listener a Yankees hat. He's in black. He spent a month. He is slim. He is in shape. He is happy.
Yes. You know, when you walk 5 miles a day, that's one of the things you do in New York in the summer. You can eat anything you want. I realized you don't have to be on a diet anymore, Scott. My new advice, just walk 5 or 6 miles every single day, and you can pretty much eat whatever you want.
I think that's the difference between urban living and living out in the rural areas that we live in.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because a couple of people I had conversations with in New York said, why are you coming to New York in the summertime? And I said, well, if you live in the city and you take a vacation in the summer, you usually go to someplace rural. You don't go to another city.
Right.
You go up to, you know, the Hamptons. You go up to Thousand Lakes if you're in New York. If you're living in L.A., you go up to, you know, Napa or whatever. But if you live in the rural area, if you live in the country, you miss some of the cultural aspects of a big city.
Sure.
And this is the longest amount of time that I spent in New York City since I graduated high school. You know, centuries ago. And I got to do things that I haven't done my whole life. And so it was a really good experience, not only for the restaurants and the entertainment and, the museums and all that, but it was also good to, you know, touch base with my roots.
Sure.
And I had never gone to Ellis Island, where all four of my grandparents came through and walked on that same cobblestone, you know, pathway into the processing hall at Ellis Island. I had never seen it in real life. I had never gone into the archives and looked up, you know, the actual documents from when my grandparents and great-grandparents came to America. So that was a good experience. So it was a combination of a number of things of wanting to go back and having a more intense and encompassing experience than what you and I usually do, which is we go there for 4 or 5 days,
and then you're gone,
and then you only do the greatest hits when you're there for 4 or 5 days.
And the greatest hits we will cover. We're going to talk all about Arnie's New York travels and trials and tribulations and successes in the next hour on What Do You Know. Back after this. And we are back, and the first question I'm going to ask you about going to New York is, what's it like being in a city post-COVID or during a pandemic, and what did you observe that maybe you didn't observe the last time you were there?
Well, everybody is paying attention to the pandemic. I mean, I did not go into a restaurant in a month that didn't ask for my vaccination card.
Right.
And my ID. They didn't want just a card. You have two pieces of identifying information, or else you couldn't go into a restaurant. If they had sidewalk seating, they let you sit outside. But if you wanted even Shake Shack at the train station, which is in a big rotunda, wouldn't let you sit down and eat there if you didn't show a vaccination card.
Which trains? Grand Central?
Grand Central.
Wow.
You couldn't eat. You know how Shake Shack is out in the middle of the rotunda? It's not an enclosed restaurant. It's an open restaurant in the main hall of Grand Central Station.
But they're very strict.
Very strict. Secondly, all public transportation, you have to be masked. So the subways, buses, you have to be masked. Concert. I went to the Eagles concert. I went to the
Madison Square Garden.
And the concert at Central Park, you know, in the Great Lawn.
Sure.
Central Park. Three checkpoints to show your ID and your vaccination card. You couldn't get in.
So if local Missoulians are complaining about having to wear a mask when they go into Target, that's the least of their issues.
Yes. I mean,
if you were in a city, you would be under stricter, much stricter guidelines.
Well, it's a higher concentration of people closer together. You know, they saw the worst of it before. You know, their hospitals were full.
Right.
They don't want to see that again. You know, and they're trying to get back to normal. The other big difference is nobody's working in the city. It was a great time to go because there were no lines. There was no delays in getting into restaurants, into stores, or any of that sort of thing. People are still working from home. And as you know, most of the people that work in Manhattan, in white-collar jobs at least, don't live in Manhattan. They live somewhere else.
So the city has transformed from a commercial hub to a residential and tourist hub.
Well, and the tourists are all domestic because the international tourists can't get in.
Wow. That's a big difference. That's the one thing you could always count on when you're in New York is running into a lot of different tourists from different countries and, you know, partaking and talking. And
but
whatever.
What I saw was, like me, a lot of domestic American tourists coming to New York in the summertime because there was a lot going on. I mean, you have baseball. You have both baseball teams playing, so every day there's a baseball game. There was the big concert on the lawn with all the amazing acts. We'll talk about that. There were Broadway's not open, but virtually everything else is open. So it's a great time. You know, all the museums are timed entry, so you have to get a ticket ahead of time. So when you go to the Museum of Modern Art or Hayden Planetarium or the Natural History Museum, it's relaxing because it's not packed and jammed on a Saturday.
But you're timed how long you can be there.
No. Then you're not timed, but you're timed entry.
You're timed entry. Got it.
And they just figure how many people are going to, you're not going to spend 9 hours.
Boy, that would be so much more enjoyable.
It was more enjoyable. I mean, you didn't have to, like they had at the Museum of Modern Art, they had some displays. They had the auto. They had the big auto display there. That I forget exactly what they call it. But they have at the Museum of Modern Art, they had the car exhibit. And that would have been jammed and mopped. And with timed entry, it was very relaxing. You could move around very easily. It was called Automania.
Automania at the
MoMA. And that's what it would normally would look like if you just anybody could walk in. So there were no lines anywhere for anything.
I have to say, the world that you've experienced, even when you were in New York, at this taping, was hit with Hurricane Ida.
Yes.
And you were talking about the subway. Public transit is flooded.
I know. I got out 48 hours ahead of time.
But talk a little bit about that. Like when a natural disaster kind of hits a city like New York, because I had been a part of, certainly a few of those over the years, snowstorms or hurricanes and et cetera. How is a city prepared for something like
that? Well, sometimes they are and sometimes they aren't. I do have to say one thing. Coming home through LaGuardia, fastest I've ever gone through the airport. There was nobody there. I mean, people are not. You think about it. There's a lot of people who come in and travel through LaGuardia, coming in from other places around the tri-state area or international tourists that want to then travel to. It took me, I'm not exaggerating, from the time the car dropped me off to the time I was through custody, dropped my luggage off
through TSA.
And through TSA was under 10 minutes at LaGuardia. That's unheard of.
It's like Missoula.
Yes, just like Missoula. It was just as fast as Missoula. But here was the thing that they weren't prepared for. They had the concert for New York.
Right, in Central Park, yeah, on the Great Lawn.
On the Great Lawn. 60,000 people.
Wow.
Clive Davis, who you know,
right?
Who's 89 now, 89-year-old Clive Davis was the empresario for putting the show together. And it was the who's who of Clive Davis's world, right? It was, Andre Bocelli and Jennifer Hudson and Carlos Santana and Rob Thomas and Journey and
The Killers.
Earth, Wind, and Fire. John Batista,
Late Show with what's his name? Colbert.
Kane Brown for the country western fans. They did a R&B hip hop rap compendium. All these folks were on the stage at the same time. LL Cool J, Busta Rhymes, Melly Mel, Reverend Run of Run DMC, Fat Joe, Kenny Babyface Edmonds also, and Lucky Day. All in one. It was just incredible.
His Rolodex.
Yeah, the Rolodex. And then, Barry Manilow came on and it started raining.
His first star on Arista Records. When he made the Arista Records after he left Columbia, that was his first breakthrough.
We didn't get to see The Killers, Paul Simon, Elvis Costello, Patti Smith, or Bruce Springsteen, because they saved the bigger acts, bigger acts to the end, and we didn't get to see.
But what happened at Central Park?
So here's what happened. Two things. One is it was because of the COVID checks.
Yeah.
They had They only had two entrances for 60,000 people.
Holy mackerel.
I was online for over 2 hours, and the line was a double line from 72nd Street back to 66th, back to 72nd Street.
And you're kidding.
No. And then you had to walk into the park up to 82nd where the Great Lawn is. So it took 2 hours. When the rain started, which was it was the heaviest 2 hour downpour in the history of Central Park.
This was how many weekends ago? Like 3 weekends?
It was on the 21st.
21st, okay, so 3 weeks.
Heaviest
ago.
Until this Ida said. So within 2 weeks, they set two records for the heaviest amount of rain ever to fall in New York City.
Man.
So, and you couldn't bring umbrellas in or any of that stuff into the concert. So it starts pouring, and they announce, as Barry Manilow's singing, you know, Mandy or whatever. They just cut his mic off. Everybody has to leave.
Because there was lightning strikes.
It was lightning, so you got to get out. They didn't open up the whole thing. There was two exits again for 60. So it was just torrential rain coming down. And as you know, you're in the middle of Central Park. You can't hide under trees because there's lightning going on.
Yeah.
So you just, the only good thing about it is it was 75, 76 degrees. But it was like taking a shower with your clothes on for 45 minutes.
Where did you go when you got out of the park?
Well, the place I was staying for the month was at 59th and Central Park. So I had to walk from 82nd to 59th.
Oh, my gosh.
That's a walk in the rain. I had to twist my money in my wallet. It was so soaked. Literally, it was like a sponge.
What would you say they should do next time if they're going to have something like that in a post-COVID world? More entrances, more checkpoints?
More entrances and exits, for sure.
Sure, because it's a disaster.
Because you couldn't get a cab. I mean, it's in a torrential rainstorm. You're in the middle of a park, 60,000 people trying to get out. At 72nd Street, there is a subway stop, so we kind of meandered over that way. But everybody was pouring down like rats into the hull of a ship, so I wasn't going to go down there. Who knows if you got flooded down there in this rain.
So for our listeners, Central Park is surrounded by, you know, the city streets, but there aren't subway stops every 20 blocks, let's say, on either end, on the east side and on the west side. And finding a cab in a torrential downpour is a sport. Good luck.
And even the horse-drawn carriages were full. People grabbed those.
How about getting cell service to call Uber or something?
Nobody was coming. The interesting thing, you mentioned Uber. Let me tell you what's going on in New York with Uber, Lyft, and taxis.
Yes.
This demand pricing.
Oh.
To go to the airport on the day I left, which was at 11 o'clock on a Tuesday, 11 a.m. on Tuesday.
Right.
$100 to get to LaGuardia by Uber, $40 by Lyft. Cab was less.
Yeah, $35, $30.
Right. There's a huge diminution of numbers of cabs on the street in New York because during the COVID pandemic, the height of the pandemic, a lot of the drivers lost their medallions. The medallions, for our listeners, could cost $500,000 to be licensed to operate a cab in New York. New York has...
It's like a liquor license.
Yes, yeah, like Tesla's. There are a lot of Tesla cabs in New York now, along with those new ones they designed. So a lot of them lost their shields, their medallions, and they're not back operating.
Why
so
did they lose them? Because they just...
Couldn't pay the... They financed
them. There's not enough.
Them.
Got it.
They couldn't pay them. They couldn't make their monthly payments on their $500,000 shield and lost them.
So it's so interesting. So you were in Manhattan at a time where there were a number of big events happening.
Right.
Right. I mean, New York is known for big events, but certainly not to the scale of the Central Park concert or big events at the Garden or at the Ball Stadium. But talk to me a little bit about getting around the city, because I know you said you walked a lot.
I walked a lot because the weather was nice.
Right.
And I figure I'm going to eat my way across the city. I might as well walk across the city.
We're going to save that for later. Right.
By the way, Madison Square Garden, you had to show your COVID. You had to be vaccinated. You could not go to the Eagles concert. Their first concert in 2 years was at Madison Square Garden.
And you went on the 24th?
I went on the 24th. The first one.
August 24th.
Had to be vaccinated. Couldn't get in without a vaccination.
So how was the, what are they, the egress or the entry and exit?
Very easy. Very quick.
At the Garden, because that's their business.
Yes, their business. They can. It was nothing out of the ordinary. You had to show it twice. You showed your card twice, and that was it.
And you were assigned an entry point on your ticket.
Yep.
So it's not like you could just wander in from any entry
point. They had it very well organized, coming in and going out. And
amazing. And you walked everywhere or took subways?
Took subways. I had a little bit of...
Did you feel safe? Did you feel
totally safe. It was the safest I ever felt, actually.
What about...
Because it wasn't as crowded as it normally is. You know, I mean, how often can you travel on a subway almost around rush hour where you can sit down on a seat?
Never.
Never. You're all packed in like sardines.
What about all we've been hearing about the crime being up in Manhattan during COVID?
I didn't notice it. I have actually noticed.
You went to a lot of places.
I went to a lot of places.
Where were you? So, I mean, I know you were using kind of Manhattan and Central Park as kind of your home base.
Right.
But where did you travel to through either subway or cab or foot?
I went out to... I went to Citi Field in Queens to see the Mets play.
So it was a seven, if I'm not mistaken.
It's a seven.
The seven out there.
Right. I was Yankee Stadium several times on the six. I went up to the
New York
Botanical Gardens in the Bronx.
Okay.
All the way up in the Bronx.
How'd you get there?
I took this. I took the subway down to Grand Central Station and then took the Metro North. Because there's a stop right at the Botanical Gardens.
Did you say you went to Harlem? Did you go?
Oh, I went to Harlem three times.
So how'd you get there? Subway?
Subway. The 125th.
The one up to 125. How did you? And then did you take any? Did you get into any cabs? And was there any traffic on the city streets?
There was not the normal traffic you normally see. I did take a few cabs. Because you know, you let's say it's 11 o'clock at night. I'm done at this club at Minton's on 118th Street in Harlem.
Right.
11 o'clock at night. I'm looking for an Uber. They want $40 or $50. And so walked over to Broadway and hailed a cab. Took 10 minutes, but I got a cab. You know, a guy with his light on. For our listeners who are not familiar with New York, the cabs turn their light on, their dome light on, when they're available to be... solicited.
It's amazing.
I found it was all, the cabs are all, every cab driver, every Uber driver, masked. Every Lyft are all masked.
They probably have to be.
Every worker in every building is masked.
Did the subject of who's vaxxed and who's not vaxxed ever come up? With people that you encountered?
On the flight back, well, I was delayed an hour because there was a family of six who wouldn't put their masks on the flight. And so,
out of Minnesota or
out of Minneapolis.
Oh my God!
They were flying back here, and they had indicated it was. I don't know how they got on the plane because you couldn't get into the airport without. But they didn't want to wear their mask on the flight and said it was their religious right not to have to wear it. So it turned into a longer conversation, and then they had to get. They took them off the plane and had to take their luggage off. So we got delayed, you know, an hour on that late flight, you know, coming back. Not in New York. I mean, people want to be vaccinated. There are COVID testing places that are free every six blocks in Manhattan.
Is that right?
They're tented, set up on the street, free COVID testing. So people get tested. You can walk into any CVS or Walgreens or Duane Reade and get a vaccination shot.
Did you notice it being in? I mean, you were in Manhattan and a really kind of a lot of things going on.
Yeah.
That I'm looking back. Cuomo actually resigned while you were there.
Yeah, Cuomo resigned.
What were the repercussions of that? Like,
it depends on who you talk to. If you talk to construction workers, they're saying, "Hey, he's an Italian guy. He's single. Right. You know." You know, guys use their hands in New York, right? Touch a woman on her shoulder. I mean, well, yeah, what's the big deal? He's a good governor. You heard that.
Right.
And then, of course, you hear more of a woke.
Unions loved him.
Yeah, you hear more of a woke kind of thing. You know, he was here's a guy who, you know, is an advocate for, you know, women's rights and, you know, had six, I don't know how many women ultimately.
Making his way with others, right?
Right, making his way with others. But it's... That was the discussion about him. It was split among different groups. But it wasn't all men versus women. There were some women I talked with. I said, what do you think? And they said,
higher tolerance for that.
You know, I mean, here's the, and I'm not defending, but here's the defense argument. He's a 60-year-old Italian guy who's single.
Right.
He's been in public life his whole life.
Right.
All the people he knows are in government. In this day and age, if you want to date somebody,
right,
how do you know if they want to date you?
Right.
And there's a thing that I don't know if it's lost on, but it used to be you flirt.
Right.
So does flirting have parameters? I mean, if you kiss somebody on the cheek, if you hug somebody.
Right.
Now, the counter argument is these were people that worked for the government, and he works for the government. But there's no law in New York that says government employees can't date.
Is that true?
Yeah, you can date. There's no... And he's not married. He's single at this point,
sure.
Right? So, was he a little handsy? Was he... I mean...
Well, he's in a position of authority.
He's in a position of authority.
So the optics are terrible.
The optics are horrible. But he never, I mean, you know, he never sexually assaulted any of these.
Right.
You know, and he made them feel uncomfortable. He flirted. I would say in a New York big city.
Right.
He was flirting and he maybe went too far trying to figure out if these women were interested in him like any single guy would do.
But what's also interesting is that there seemed to be a lot of resentment towards him for other things that he did
as a leader.
And this was kind of a way
to... He's a bully. He's a bully politician.
Right, that's politics.
And he's a tough guy politician.
Right.
You know, and
so you have to look at all the angles.
So, I'm not condoning. I'm just saying what people were saying in the conversation because it was on the news every night practically. You know, and, you know, most of the news was very critical. There was nobody on the news supporting him.
Right.
But when you talk to people, you know, in restaurants, in cabs, and, you know, sitting next to you at a concert, and you say, what do you think? And I talked to lawyers, I talked to a doctor, I talked, you know, professional people and working people. It was a broad range. So people said, give the guy, you know.
I think it's hard for people to even think about it this way because people consider New York to be a very left-leaning, liberal kind of town and city and area. But that don't confuse that with being woke. Because that's a whole other thing. Right.
Right. And then you're confused about the male-female dating politics. I mean, you have kids that are... It's a different dating world. They have groups more than people pairing off. When I went to college, you used to pin a girl, and you'd be with one girl. And,
right. You're steady.
You're steady. You know, and if you're... You know, and if you... We're looking to find somebody to date. If you were a single guy, you would flirt. And people flirt a different way. People were obnoxious flirters, right? Everybody had a line at a bar, right? Now, I understand it's the governor, right? And it's the governor's line.
Right, that's right.
And he's also Italian, which are, you know, Italians, big city Italians are very tactile in the way they interact with you. Because I'm, you know, most of the Italians I know...
It's a way of communicating. You know, we always talk about body language and facial expressions, kind of lost in, you know, when you're doing everything virtually.
Right.
But when you're in front of somebody, it's a different way of communicating.
Right. Then you had, at the concert for New York, de Blasio stood up and they would booed him for 5 minutes, the mayor of New York.
He's hated.
And
but
he's,
they still vote him in.
He's completely woke, right? He's the most woke, you know, mayor that you could possibly have.
Progressive.
And they're just booing him.
Yeah. Mayor de Blasio, right, and this is his last term. What's the thinking on Eric Adams and that whole him, you know, he's obviously won the primary and now he's going to run again. Is there a Republican?
There is a Republican, and there's also Curtis Sliwa.
Oh, my God, from the,
the Guardian Angels. He was out there shaking people's hands. I shook hands with Curtis
at the concert?
Outside of the concert. He was pressing the flesh.
He and Ron Cuby, the fabled liberal attorney, used to have a radio show on WABC.
Yeah.
For many, many, many years.
He looks a lot old. He's wearing a suit. You know, now. he looks different than in his early days of being a guardian angel. But, yeah, there's some competition, but I don't think it's going to be serious.
So, Arnie, let's pivot for a second. we talked about concerts and music and the city. I know your beloved Yankees played. You saw them how many times?
I saw them 3 times.
What was it like seeing your team?
Well, being at Yankee Stadium is always. One time I went with somebody who had never been to Yankee Stadium before.
Right.
So I took them out to Monument Park.
Right.
And they saw. It's different. I mean, it's even different than the Mets. You go to Citi Field, it's a nice field.
Beautiful.
It doesn't feel like Yankee Stadium.
Right.
They don't have a monument park.
Right.
They don't have statues to their gods. They put a 5-minute video on at the beginning of the game.
Sure.
That talks about, you know, Daryl Strawberry and Doc Gooden and some of the.
Their heritage is not as deep.
And Tom Sweeney. Right. You know, they have some good people. You know, when you get off the train and walk into Citi Field, it's called Seaver Way for Tom Seaver.
Sure.
One of the greatest ball players in, you know,
pitcher
history. But it was good being at a game. The irony is, at the ballpark, they don't check for COVID.
Really?
They didn't check any of the times I went.
Masks, though, are required.
No.
What?
No.
You're kidding. Is that an MLB
worked
thing?
Out some kind of weird deal. No masks required. But I can tell you, there's no sold-out crowds.
So the crowds stadiums are 3/4 full?
Yeah, 3/4.
That's even a lot.
Quarters.
Half. Well, the NFL's the NBA is the exact opposite. You have to have a mask when you're a spectator.
Yeah, well, not there.
Or if you're on the bench. Well, nope, nothing on the bench either.
On the Eagles, nope. On the Eagles concert, which was fantastic, you had to be vaccinated to get in. So the people weren't wearing masks. And I do have to say, you're a music guy. I know you're salivating at all the people I mentioned, the Concert for America. But the Eagles concert, to me, was extraordinary because they're in their 70s, almost all of them, except for Glenn Frey's son,
right.
Deacon Frey, who's 28. And they didn't have any backup singers.
Wow.
And their harmony was as tight as it's ever been. They came out and did the whole Hotel California album from the start to the end.
Wow.
Took a break. And then as they're taking the break, Don Henley says, we're going to change, take a little break, and then we're going to sing Everything Else We Know. And it went on for 4 hours.
Are you kidding?
It was a 4-hour concert. The best line of the night was Joe Walsh, great Joe Walsh from the James Gang.
From New Jersey.
Yeah, New Jersey guy, James Gang, and Joe Walsh and Barnstorming. And, you know,
right.
Now, since 75, he's been also performing with the Eagles. And Walsh said, I have to tell, you know, he's a little quirky anyways, you know. He said, it was a lot more fun being in my 20s in the 70s than being in my 70s in the 20s. Which I think was a great
line. That's a good line.
But they did everything. They did some of their own private stuff. I mean, he did all of his Life in the Fast Lane. And
was the crowd seated?
Seated.
How comfortable was that? Weren't you comfortable?
Yeah, I was comfortable. Well, everybody
air-conditioned.
Air-conditioned, comfortable.
The garden's
everybody
the
on
best.
The floor, which is stood up almost the whole time.
That's
know?
Why I said sit in the seats.
Yes, yeah, the seats were great.
How was the food at the garden? Did you eat?
No, I didn't eat the garden.
Did you eat in Koreatown beforehand?
No. I ate near where we were. Okay. And then, but the food I had was amazing. Actually, you're going to find this shocking. The best pastrami I had, and I had pastrami 5 times, of course, was at Citi Field.
You're kidding.
They make their own pastrami there, and they thick cut it, and it was the most flavorful. I hate to say it, more than the Second Avenue Deli, more than Katz's, more than the food trucks.
Which presented that? Who prepared it though? Was there a brand?
There was behind? No. It's in the club upstairs.
Okay.
And there's just a whole side of pastrami, and they sliced it very thick. And I almost couldn't eat one sandwich. That's how big a sandwich it was.
Wait a minute. And for everybody, it's kind of gauche to leave with a to-go box from a ball game.
You can't do that.
You can't do that.
And, you know, it was not much money. It was $14.50, which...
What?
Yeah, it was less than in any of the delis. But I do have to say, as a food aficionado, I had just a Diet Coke. But as a food aficionado, it was the best pastrami. But I ate...
Did you have any knishes?
I didn't have any knishes there. Every morning I would get up the street to Zebedo's Italian coffee roasters and have a cup of coffee there.
Nice.
Because it was the best coffee I found.
You sat outside?
Sat outside, watch everybody going
perfect.
To and from work.
Ugh, what a
Very
day.
Few suits. I would count in a morning 3 or 4 people in a suit, which normally at 9 o'clock or 8:30 in the morning, everybody coming out of the F train on 15 on Sixth Avenue would be in a suit.
Okay.
But I ate at the Modern, which is a Michelin-starred restaurant, for lunch.
Right.
At the Museum of Modern Art. Great. I ate at Loy's.
Right.
You know, the...
Maria.
Maria, who we had on our show last week.
Last week, yep.
Her restaurant was right around the corner, and she was just a wonderful hostess.
That's wonderful.
And the food there is terrific, so I ate there three times.
Okay.
Three or four times. Every time I walked by, that was the way
they pulled you in.
She would say, she'd be sitting outside at her table. It would say, owner's table. And she'd be sitting there, and she'd say, Arnie, come here. You know, you got to eat something. You know, owner, you know.
That's how it goes.
I went to, ate at the Baylander, which is a decommissioned naval vessel that's parked at 125th Street in the Hudson River.
Wow.
And you sit on there, you can look down the river, see the whole skyline. And
beautiful.
It was a great to be out on
what
a boat.
What kind of food?
You know, bar food. It was bar food, but it was good bar food.
Got it.
I went to Bemelman's, the famous place at the hotel, the Carlisle Hotel.
Right.
Where Bobby Short used to play and hold court for many, many years.
And you're not a drinker, so did you have any
spirits? I had a Bloody Mary.
Okay,
a good Bloody Mary. A $25 Bloody Mary, for those of you that are listening. It's not cheap in New York. The other thing you notice is no matter what the bill is, it's almost 9% tax on top of it, so it really kills
you. Oh, you know, we're not used to that, Montana.
We're not used to that. I've been in Tbilisi, to eat a Georgian food, but never outside of the country of Georgia. So I went to the old Tbilisi garden and had dinner.
What'd you have?
Well, I didn't order because there was a guy that worked for me in Russia, a guy named Joe Crowley. And when we were in Russia in 1991, we celebrated his 30th birthday, and I reserved a whole restaurant, and we had a big birthday party for him. And it was his 60th birthday, so I was with him on his 30th birthday.
And
he invited me to this family gathering, and I went, and they just kept bringing food out.
Oh, that must have been great.
You know, all the dumplings and cheese pies and all. Yeah. The food was incredible there. I also went to a restaurant called Farida, which had Uzbeki food. I've been to Uzbekistan.
Right.
And the food wasn't phenomenal when I was there. But this restaurant was great. And I took two friends who work with me in Russia.
Okay.
And we went to this Uzbeki restaurant. And it was shish kebabs and soup dumplings where you bite into them and, the soup comes out.
Where is Uzbekistan? Is that adjacent to the Middle East?
No, it's part of the former Soviet Union.
So it's
one of the Stan republics. It's Eastern Europe.
Eastern Europe,
but
okay.
It's lower on the continent, so it has the middle, it has the Eastern influence. The Asian influence. I went to China, Shanghai 21 in Chinatown with Michelle Yui, one of our former
guests. You didn't tell me about it. How was that?
That was great.
Wait, Shanghai 21?
Yeah, it's her favorite restaurant. So, for our listeners, if you have somebody whose parents were born in Hong Kong and she grew up in New York, as a Chinese kid,
yeah,
and this is her favorite Chinese restaurant, you let her order and you just go with it.
Wow.
And it was terrific.
We sat
outside.
Wait, what street is it on? 21st and what?
It's Mott Street.
Oh, Mott Street.
It's down in Mott, south of Canal.
Shanghai 21?
Well, yeah, it was fantastic.
What did you have?
We had some...
soup dumplings.
We had soup dumplings. Of course, we had a vegetable dish that was fantastic because they put all the great sauce on it.
Uh-huh.
We had Shanghai noodles with all kinds of pork and stuff.
Minced pork.
And another. It was just, everything just tasted terrific.
Just you and Michelle?
Just Michelle and
Vim I. Vim and Vigor. You know, right.
Vim and Vigor, and she has a new company called ShopDot, and she's working on a whole bunch of...
She's
a great entrepreneur. So...
That was Chinatown.
Yeah.
Any Little Italy work there? Did you do any Little Italy?
Well, I went to... Here's a soprano moment. So Mike Braun, one of our former guests, was there. He went to Museum of Modern Art in MoMA with me, and we went to a few restaurants. And so we went down to Trying to remember where exactly.
It was Mike Braun from the University of Montana.
Right.
The strategy group now.
Right.
He's overseeing.
And so we went, we were down at Grand Central Station, and he wanted to get some Italian food.
Okay.
So there is a restaurant nearby called Rosini's.
Oh, you told me about this.
It's been there since 1946. And so it was rainy out and whatever. We go into Rosini's, and we got a table at Rosini's. And right in the corner, there were a big round table with guys that you would recognize instantly. They could have been in the cast of Goodfellas or The Sopranos or Godfather or whatever. And one of the guys with gray hair with a big gold necklace with a big diamond ring sitting in the back. And
pinky ring.
Pinky ring. And he's saying, and I'm not exaggerating, Mike and I are listening because he's talking loud and the restaurant's kind of quiet. You know that thing we were having a problem with that thing isn't a problem anymore. So we can do what we need to do because the thing is taken care of.
The thing. And it was for real.
It was for real. He wasn't putting this thing on.
Right. It wasn't like going to a Disney Italian.
And one of the guys in the groups obviously was not originally from New York. He said, you know, I like you. Anytime you come here, you call me and I'll take care of whatever you need. It was one of those hourly. They were there when we sat down and they were there when we left.
And their backs were to the wall.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was, it reminded me of a Chicago experience. Went to Danielle.
Oh, great restaurant.
Yeah, fantastic. Michelin 2-star restaurant. Food was spectacular. It was half the normal price because the dining room was closed and they only had the sidewalk seating, so they charged half of what they normally charge. So that was
Daniel.
That was a great experience. Went to
below.
Second Avenue Deli on 3rd.
On 3rd and Upper East Side?
No, it's on 33rd.
It is?
Yeah.
So it's no second longer down in the East Village.
No.
There's also one on the, near the hospital for special surgery.
Then after we got completely soaked coming back from the... We hadn't eaten.
Right.
We started online at 3:15.
Oh, this is the concert for New York.
Yeah. This is now 9 o'clock at night. We hadn't eaten for 6.5 hours out in the rain. So we bolted up the street to a place called Niccolo, Italian place.
Okay.
And the food, and you know, they were just closing, but they saw that we needed help. We were stranded, so they stayed open. And I was there with my friend Rob Scavone, and so he knows Italian food. He picked this place out. That food was terrific as well. Went up to Minton's Jazz Club in Harlem.
Okay.
Great little jazz spot. It had closed down because the building had a fire in it and stuff, but it was the original club where Billie Holiday and Miles Davis and all these other people
wow.
got their start.
What
in
street?
New York. 118th, around 116th Street.
Got it.
So the building got fixed up. You know, Harlem's getting gentrified.
Sure.
And around the corner, they opened up a restaurant called Cecil's, which had, you know, barbecue and, you know, pork. I mean, a good menu. And there, so somebody, an entrepreneur, bought the old space that was the original Mittens.
Right.
And reopened it using the kitchen from Cecil's. So it actually has good food.
That's amazing.
So it's a really great jazz club. And again, that was my third time in Harlem.
The Upper West Side, as you go from there up to Harlem, so is all being gentrified.
Well, if you go to 148th Street in Harlem, the heart of Harlem.
Right.
When in 1980, my car broke down in there, and basically a doorman in one of the buildings said, you better get out of here, son.
Right.
Son.
Right.
You know, you're not, yeah, yeah.
Right.
A white guy in a broken down car
right.
is an imitation of being in trouble. There's Starbucks on every corner. I mean, it's totally different now.
Right.
I don't know if that's good or if it's bad or, you know, what it really means. Because it's getting pricier and pricier to, you know, to...
Sure.
You know, and New York attitude, you know, Missoula has sticker shock about real estate prices.
Right.
But let me share a conversation in New York. Two young 20-somethings are looking at a real estate listing. And there's later I took a look at what they were looking at. A two-bedroom, two-bath, 1,100-square-foot condo on 51st and 1st Avenue, you know, east side.
Right.
And the one guy says to the other guy, that seems to be reasonable. It's only $4 million.
Two-bedroom.
Two-bedroom, two-bath, 1,100 square feet. And he said, and the HOA's $2,400 a month.
A month.
And the taxes are
How do you square it?
When I looked at it and added up, it was $4,500 or $4,600 a month in taxes and HOA.
Before you're paying your mortgage.
Before you're paying your mortgage on a $4 million apartment.
That's, well, if you own property in Manhattan, just wait. My brother is trying to sell his place. I thought he had a buyer. He's got 1,800 square feet on Central Park West.
That's worth a fortune.
It doesn't seem like it's worth much more than that, though. That's what's so interesting.
Well, it depends on how renovated.
Well, 51st and 1st is a prime location.
Yes.
Because it's near Sutton Place. I mean, it's a very big. So you had also called me without naming names of supermarkets here in Missoula. You had said that the Whole Foods that you went to in Manhattan was priced better than places around town.
Yes,
I was shocked. Like, give us an example.
I'll give you some examples. Because I was living there for a month, so I didn't go out every single night. I mean, I'd be calling you, send me money.
Right.
Because, I mean, New York's a funny place. It's a weird combination. You go out and have, egg and bacon on a roll for $3 with a cup of coffee.
Right.
Or in the building I was staying, was connected to the JW Marriott, their morning breakfast is $41. So you can either have the $3 or $41.
Right.
You can go and get, there are 20 places that sell a slice of pizza for 99 cents.
Right. $5.
Right. Or you can go to the Modern and have spend $100 for lunch.
I mean, sure.
So it's all over the place. So I went into right 2 blocks away where you used to work.
Mm-hmm.
At the Columbus Circle in the Time Warner
building. Where our headquarters were.
Yeah, your headquarters were in the old days. They have a lower level and they have the whole basement of the whole building is an enormous Whole Foods. And I was told by somebody that the prices got more competitive after Amazon bought them. They took their prices
down.
That's
true, right.
Because it used to be called Whole Paycheck.
Right.
And I went in there. And so here are the examples. A organic roasted chicken already cooked, $7.99.
Wow.
Not the Costco. I mean, this is organic roasted.
Right. That's fantastic.
Cheese, an 8-ounce pack of cheese, like Swiss cheese or American cheese. Their brand, which is called 365,
right,
$3.99.
Wow, this is news, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, the prepared salad bar, which has five different everything,
and it's open too now.
Open, yeah.
Okay. It's
$10
a pound.
Yeah, which is not bad. I try to limit it to a pound of whatever I got.
It's so easy to go through.
Most of their prepared foods were less equivalent or less than the good food store here in price. I mean, this is in the prime piece of real estate. I mean, you're right in the heart of New York City. They can charge anything there. Their flowers, a bouquet of flowers was $14, a big bouquet of flowers.
So they are faced, sounds like they're faced with, if there's not a commercial workforce in Manhattan who normally would go there for lunch, they're just relying on residential and tourism.
Right. They compete with D'Agostino's and
Gristiti's.
Gristiti's.
Right.
I went into all of them, and they were more expensive than Whole Foods.
Really?
The normal grocery store chains in Manhattan.
Well, and they cater more to a resident versus where you were. That's a whole office building that's on top of that.
Right,
place.
But there's also apartments all
there
around.
There are, and there's a Mandarin. How about, did you... That's amazing, actually.
Yeah, I was just stunned. I mean, across the board, a dozen eggs like Jerry and whatever that you buy here for $5.98 $4.98.
So less.
Slightly less. If you buy the organic, special bread, they have about 20 different, they have 20 different brands.
So let me ask you this question, because around here, the phenomena of drive-through, of using a drive-through to pick stuff up,
right,
is really so popular and has been, but really it's exploded since COVID. What's the equivalent of the drive-through in the city? Is it order in advance and pick up at the window? Or?
Well, it's two. They'll deliver. Everybody, I mean...
Seamless or...
Seamless, Grubhub...
Chowhound.
Chowhound, Lyft. They're all diversified. Lyft now is renting cars in New York.
Oh, my God.
You can rent a car from
like
Lyft.
Turo does, right.
Yeah. So if you want to pick up from, there's Amazon stores there, where you can get anything within 2 hours.
Amazing.
And And Whole Foods, you can order online digitally, and they have it ready. They have a refrigerated room. It's like, it reminds me of a morgue. You open up your refrigerated, container,
and you
take your bags of grocery that they've or all these delivery services. I mean, there are
convenient.
You can tell how many there are because there are places like Starbucks where you can get Wi-Fi, and there's like 40 guys on bicycles there waiting for their next delivery. Getting their next lead so they can bicycle off and load up and deliver. So
convenience is on hyperdrive.
Not only is it on hyperdrive, but almost everybody I talk to in New York says, why are you walking over there? They just deliver it. Everybody is now switched into a mindset that they... and I like to see what I'm buying.
Sure.
I don't want to squeeze the peaches.
Right. You want to see. What other? So, all right. So, convenience, food, sports, music, museums, and walking at least 5 miles a day, you think?
Almost every day, except when it was pouring rain or a couple of days, my Achilles was really bothering me, so I didn't walk. But I walked every single day, so at least some distance. Most of the time, it was, it was 2.5 miles in one direction, 2.5 miles back. I do have to say they're doing – there's an app called Fever, and they're putting on these very unusual concerts. So, for example, we went down above Paragon Sports down on Broadway,
20, right.
Down by – by
the – the 20s.
Yeah. Sixth floor of the building. They have this big open space, and they're doing a Miles Davis Jazz Quintet is performing.
Oh, cool.
And they got all these candles, on the floor.
Pop-up things
all over the place. All different kinds of pop-up things.
The city's
which are
back.
Fun because Broadway doesn't open till October.
So now it's October.
Yeah.
You thought, so weren't
they're
they?
They're in rehearsals and stuff, but it's not till October till they open. But all the music is going on. There's a concert for everything. I could have gone out to, Jones Beach and seen,
right. There's so much
Hall
music.
All the notes. And, I mean, everybody you can think of, 4 or 5 days after Guns N' Roses was here, they're in New York.
So between Maria's Place, Whole Foods, were there any other go-to places? And the coffee place, morning coffee place.
Yeah, two other go-to places that we've been walking to. One is Tang Pavilion for Chinese. Great orange beef.
Right. Deliver,
but I went there because it's only 3
and what's
blocks
it
away.
Like receiving a Chinese meal from a place like that versus anywhere else?
Well, everybody in there is Chinese.
But it also, this is a difference.
It's smells a different
good.
Food. It
tastes amazing. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to hear the rest of Arnie's trip to New York. And also, the question for Arnie is, what did he leave for the next visit? Back after this.
Hunter Bay Coffee.
We're back.
Yes.
So you did. What didn't you get to do that you wanted to do that you're going to do next summer?
Well, I didn't get to go out to Long Island.
Okay.
I didn't get to go to, everybody was going out to the Hamptons. And,
right.
There's the beach places. I didn't get to go to the beach. I didn't get to go to Coney Island. The day I had planned, I had activities planned almost every day. I had this like a military operation.
Sure.
And the day that I wanted to go to Coney Island was the day it was pouring rain. So it's not... You can't go
it's
on
It's a long subway
it's
out a, there.
It's an hour and 20 minutes to get there.
From Manhattan.
And the subway's okay, but, the delays when there's rain. And, then what are you going to do with Coney Island? You got to be outside, walking on the boardwalk.
Oh, so great, though.
I know. I didn't get to do that. I was going to do Arthur Avenue and, the old
in
Italian
the
area in the Bronx, the original Italian
right.
area in the Bronx. But we had gone up to the Botanical Gardens and walked around so much. At the Botanical Gardens, there was the Kusama exhibit, which is a Japanese sculpture thing that was a
garden.
Yeah, and it was packed. By the time we got done, the timing wasn't right to then go off to. Basically, we didn't want to walk a mile at that point.
So the Hamptons, wait a second, the Hamptons, Arthur Avenue,
no, well,
Coney
not really
Island.
The Hamptons, just out on Long Island.
Long Island.
Because I
it.
Went to high school out there.
Right. You go to Montauk, go to Gurney's.
Yeah. But it's a schlep, right? It's a schlep.
Notice that you don't want to go to New Jersey.
Well, I was supposed to go to New Jersey because my friend
Hoboken.
Rob has a new, redid his place in Hoboken, but I didn't get a chance to go there because, again, the day we were going to go was two or three days it rained hard, and it's kind of hard to take the ferry across the river when it's pouring rain, and you know, it defeats the whole
purpose. So if anyone thinks that climate change is not a reality,
oh, totally.
In the city, it's amplified.
Yeah, it's totally amplified. I mean, you saw the water gushing down the subways, you know.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
But to answer your question, except for a few things, I did pretty much...
Your bucket list.
My bucket list of things, because when I normally go, when you and I normally go, you're there for 3 or 4 days.
Right.
I go to a ball game. I go to a show, Broadway show, under normal circumstances. I go to one or two of my favorite restaurants. You know, for example, I didn't go to Lombardi's for pizza. I went to two other places for pizza.
Right.
But I didn't get to go to Lombardi's. I normally just, you know, hit your greatest hits.
Your high notes.
This one, you get to see the whole, this is deep track. This is New York deep track. You get to go down and do the things that that you've missed over the years.
Amazing trip. And that was, we just filled 50 minutes of information. I know you have so much more to talk to me about.
Yeah, it was a whole month.
A whole month of travel. But, really good. I'm glad you're back. Glad you're healthy.
Good to be back.
Happy and safe. We will see you next week, Arnie, where we're going to come back with a regular show where we're talking to somebody from good old Missoula, Montana. See you next week.
Thank you, Scott. See you next week.
Thank you for listening to What Do You Know?
I can't wait for the next show, Scott.
I'm excited too, Arnie. If you'd like to suggest a guest, send me an email at scottrichman@townsquaremedia.com. We'll see you next week. And thanks for listening to News Talk KDOW.
On Friday's Montana.